Man, so last week we started a brand new series called I Am Loved. Somebody say, I am loved. Come on, somebody say, I am loved. Come on, somebody say, I am loved. Come on, you got to say it until you believe it. Say, I am loved. How many of you guys know that you're loved? How many of you guys know that you're loved in this place, man? You know, last week we talked about how love is a fundamental human need. That every single person in this room is craving to be loved by someone. And this is not just like a romantic love, you know, this is not like boyfriend, girlfriend love. Is that, man, is that you long to be accepted, you long to be valued, and you long to be loved in relationship for who you are, okay? Is that that is a primary human need. Just as much as you need to eat, and just as much as you need to drink water, is that your body is craving love. And without it, we said last week, that it's scientifically proven, man, that you'll actually die, right? Why? Because you were designed by God to be loved. Listen, is that you were made by the one who is love to be loved by him, right? I'm going to say it again. You were made by the one who is love to be loved by him, right? And no one else can fully love you the way God can, right? Right? Come on, listen. I have a news flash for you, okay? It doesn't matter how cute they are, right? Like, it doesn't matter how much you think or how amazing you think they are, right? Is that people are going to let you down. Everybody is going to fall short in some way, right? Listen, your parents are going to fall short, okay? Your future spouse is going to fall short. Man, your kids are going to fall short in loving you right, right? Listen, only God can love you perfectly, right? He's the only one. You know, and there's a verse that I love in Ephesians chapter 3. Man, it says that we would know the height, the width, the depth, and the breadth of the love of God, and that we would experience it as all God's people should. See, what I love about the love of God is that, man, is that I was actually made to experience it. Like, this is so powerful to me because, like, it's more than just, like, this mental concept that, like, oh, yeah, I know God loves me and he died for me. Cool. No, man, I was meant to experience the love of God. Is that the love of God is an actual experience. You know, listen, and I don't know if you hung around for the altar call last week, man, but we were laying on hands on kids to experience the love of God, man. And, like, one after the other, it was like boom, 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 boom. Like, people were encountering the love of God last week. It was really cool, right? And so today we're continuing part two of this series of I Am Loved. And so jumping into tonight's message, if there was one thing that you wanted someone else to know about you, what would that one thing be? Come on, like, if there was one standout characteristic, right? Let's say they didn't know you from Adam. Like, let's say you're filling out your eHarmony profile, right? Because you are searching for love. You know what I mean? You're filling it out, and you got to, like, type in the bio, right? Like, what's, like, the one thing that you want people to know about you? this is going to be fun. He's an artist. Okay. Come on, tell me. What's, like, the one thing? She loves anime. Love it. Come on, what's, like, the one thing? Somebody tell me. All right, y'all, I'm gonna start picking on y'all. You love fitness. Kenny loves to work out. I love it. So, like, you want the ladies to know that you're in shape, right? Hey. You're an athlete. I dig it, right? You're a musician. Dude, this man, I totally forgot about that. Come on. Right? Is that, like, we all have that one standout characteristic that we would love for people to know about us, right? And so there's this really cool story in the Bible, right? Come on, how many of you guys have ever heard of the golden calf before? Right? Like, the Ten Commandments, the golden calf story, you know, where Moses, he's up on the mountain for 40 days. He's, like, in glory land encountering Jesus. The Bible says that God literally takes his finger and inscribes the Ten Commandments on these stones. It's pretty insane, you know. And then Moses comes off the mountain, and he finds that Israel has abandoned God, made their own idols, right? And now they're literally having this giant orgy, okay? Like, can we be real, right? Like they're literally having this giant orgy down there, like, right? And Moses comes down and the Bible says that he drops the tablet. He's so upset, right? God, like in the middle of mid-conversation, God actually tells Moses, hey, the people have turned away from me. Like they took all their jewelry, they melted it down. They made this false god and named him after me. And now they're serving him instead of me. Right, so Moses goes down, he deals with the situation, right? And now like God basically tells Moses, he says, listen, I'm gonna send you guys to the promised land still because I'm someone who keeps my word, right? But here's the deal, is that you're gonna have to go without me, right? Because he's like, yo, if I stay among these people, Moses, I may wipe them all out, right? He says, these stiff-necked people. And so Moses has this really interesting interaction, right, with God. He's like, God, if you don't go, I'm not going, right? And then Moses asks God this, like, amazing question. He says, God, let me see your glory, right? Let me see your glory. And if in the word glory, it means weight. And if I could like make that sentence maybe a little bit more modern, probably taking some stuff away from it, but make it a little bit more modern. It, like Moses said, God, like, let me see what makes you God. Like God, what would you put on your eHarmony profile? Right? Come on, like God, what's that standout thing about you? Like, what's the thing that sets you apart? Man, like, who are you? Show me your heart. Show me your glory. And then the Bible says that God, he says, oh, wow, like you want to know me. And so he says, okay, Moses, this is what I'm going to do, is I'm going to pick you up. I'm going to hide you in a cleft of a rock or in a crevice. I'm going to cover it with my hand and I'm going to walk by. Because here's the thing, if you see my face, you're not going to be able to live because no one can see my face and live, right? And so, and then this happens in Exodus chapter 34, verses 5 through 7. It says, and the Lord came down in a cloud and stood there with him. How cool. And he called out his name. So God called out his own name, Yahweh. The Lord passed in front of Moses, calling out, Yahweh, the Lord, the God of compassion and mercy, I am slow to anger and filled with unfailing love and faithfulness. I lavish unfailing love to 1,000 generations. Can we read that again about the character of God? He said, Yahweh, the Lord, the God of compassion and mercy, I am slow to anger and filled with unfailing love. Come on, so somebody say unfailing. Somebody say unfailing. Somebody say unfailing. Love and faithfulness. I lavish unfailing. Come on, somebody say unfailing. Love to 1,000 generations. Now, isn't this interesting to me, friend? Listen. Isn't this interesting that one of the main things that God wanted Moses to know about himself is that, man, I am a God, number one, who's slow to anger, right? Because everyone thinks God is always like angry and mean or whatever. He's not. But he says this, is that, man, I am filled. Like, I just don't have, but I am filled with unfailing love. Now, the word unfailing here is really interesting because the word unfailing love is interesting because it's the Hebrew word hesed. Somebody say hesed. Somebody say hesed. And the word unfailing, like as cool as it is, it kind of falls short of what that definition actually means. You guys can actually put it up there for me. Like if I had to throw on a formal definition on this word, it would be this. It's a type of affection that you have for someone, but it's more than affection or feelings. It's also a loyal commitment to be generous to that person for the long run. Hear me. It's a loyal commitment to be generous to that person for the long run. And if I can be honest with you guys, this word hesed, somebody say hesed. Come on, somebody say hesed. Like, it's actually really hard to translate. And all throughout the years and ages, whenever translators are trying to translate this word in the Bible, like, they always use a different word because this concept of this word is so big that they can't fit it into, like, one English word. Right? Like, in the 1300s, they said, oh, man, this word, like, it means steadfast love. Then in the early 1600s, they picked goodness. In the early 1800s, they picked kindness. In the 1900s, they used words like loving kindness, faithfulness, and love itself. See, like the seed of God, it carries all these concepts. Man, that God has a steadfast love. Man, that he has goodness. Man, that he has kindness. Man, that he has loving kindness. And that he's faithful. And like they can't find one word to narrow down the word the seed. Now, if you're really going to grasp the weight of this word, now hang on with me here, okay? Hang on with me here. It's that Hasid is actually a covenant word. Right now, I know most of us in this room, we have no clue like what covenant is because it's not in our culture or whatever. But if you're really going to grasp what the Hasid of God is, meaning that he's filled with Hasid, then you have to know what covenant is. You have to know what covenant is. Does that make sense? Probably not, because I haven't explained it. But listen, is that the Bible is centered around the idea that the God of the universe has cut a covenant with mankind. Hear me. Like the whole Bible, like from Genesis to Revelations, it's all about this word covenant. In fact, when you look at, you know, most of us know that there's an Old Testament, right? And there's a New Testament. What the real word is that there's an old covenant and there's a new covenant, right? Like the Bible is split up into those two things. So the old covenant is the story of God making a promise or a relationship with the people of Israel through Abraham and Moses and then some other characters in the Bible. And the new covenant is about God making a relationship with all of mankind through the man Jesus, right? And if I don't get covenant, then I won't get the Bible. If you are a Christian in this room, right? How many born-again Christians do I have in this room? How many born-again Christians do I have in this room? Listen, if you're a Christian in this room, then you don't just have a relationship with God. You actually have a covenant with God. Hear me, like, I'm going to explain what that means in a second, but it's really important that you get that. You don't just have a relationship with God. You have a covenant with God. Okay? So hold that, take it, and put it in your back pocket. So like I said, many of us in this room, we have no idea the power and the culture behind this word covenant because it's not in Western society. Like, right, like the closest thing that probably most of us in this room have experienced a covenant is promises. Right, come on. How many guys have ever made a promise before? Right? How many guys have ever made a promise before? Everyone in this room has made a promise. How many has ever had someone make a promise to you before? Right? Come on. How many guys have ever failed to keep your promises? Right? How many of you guys have ever had someone fail to keep their promises to you? Come on, like maybe it's been situations like you tell your parents, like, Mom, I promise you. Mom, I promise you I'll clean my room. Right? Mom, I promise you I'll make better grades. I promise you I'll do my homework, Mom. Right? And you make those promises. But right, like your mom leaves the house, right? And she says, baby, by the time I get home at 5 o'clock, this room better be picked up. Yeah, mom, I promise I'll get you, right? 4:55 rolls around, right? And you've been playing Xbox a little too long. And you look at the clock and you scramble, right? And you're throwing stuff underneath the bed. You're throwing stuff in the closet. Your mom walks in and she's like, why isn't the room clean, right? You failed to keep the promise. So listen, like as promises are a big deal. How many of you guys agree that promises are a big deal? Yeah. Right? But in our society, right, most of the time, if you break a promise, it's not really that big of a deal. You know? It's like it may suck, some people may get hurt, but at the end of the day, life will go on. You know? And then I think probably as a culture, the closest thing that we have to covenant is contracts. Okay, contracts. Come on. How many of you guys have ever had to sign a contract before? Probably a few of you guys, you know. Like maybe you signed a contract, you know, if you go to like a private school, right, that you have to behave a certain way, and if not, they'll kick you out of that school. I mean, I heard the other day that if you go to Fayetteville Christian School, that they actually made you sign a contract during COVID that like your camera had to be on, you know, that you had to be dressed and sitting down, that you couldn't attend school in your bed, you know what I mean? Like you had to sign a contract stating that you would do that. How many of you guys have a job? All right, when you get a job, most people, they have to sign a contract, right? you sign a contract for the hours that you're going to work and what you're going to get paid. Listen, when you buy a car one day, you're going to sign a contract. When you buy a house one day, you're going to sign a contract. What contract means is this. Thanks, Liv. It's a written or spoken agreement, especially one concerning employment, sales, or tenancy, or that's a place to live, that is intended to be enforceable by the law, right? So listen, if you break a contract, that's a pretty big deal, okay? Like if you break a promise, like it hurts or whatever, but man, like now we're in a contract, and if you break a contract, like you could even go to jail, right? And like some instances, like breaking contracts is a big deal. So listen, I'm here to tell you tonight that covenant is bigger than promises and covenant is bigger than contracts, okay? Like, does that make sense? Does that make sense? See, it's bigger than the book. See, what covenant means, can I get two volunteers? Joe, let me get you, and let me get you, right? See, what the word covenant means is this, is it comes from the Hebrew word berit. Stop. Someone say berit. And it means this. It means to bind together. Can we actually throw that definition up there? It means to bind or tie together. It's when two parties bind themselves to each other for life. So, for instance, like let's say that Joe wanted to make a covenant with my man here, right? And so I want you guys to put your hands together. And so what would happen was, is that it's almost like, you guys put your hands together and what, like hold hands or I don't know. How about this? Do this. This, right? And so like if they wanted to make covenant, man, right? And they made this covenant, it's almost like they were getting tied together for the rest of their lives. Listen, they were getting bound together for the rest of their lives. And no matter what they did, they couldn't get unbound. Okay? Like, this is a big deal. Come on, how many of you guys know that when I go work at Chick-fil-A and I sign a contract, I'm not bound to Chick-fil-A for the rest of my life? Amen? Amen, amen, brother. Come on, like, whenever I go and buy a car, I'm not bound to that car for the rest of my life when I sign a contract. But man, when I make a covenant, what I'm saying is, dude, I am binding myself to you for the rest of my life. See, it's a giving of your complete life to this person, and it's a receiving of their complete life to you. So if they made a covenant together, it would be like if Joe said, hey, man, listen, everything that I have is yours. All of my resources, all of my 25 houses in the future. Come on, I'm prophesying over you. Jesus' name, touch you. Right? All of my 25 houses. Bro, listen, every dollar in my bank account belongs to you too. He said, nah, right? He said, I'm rich enough, man. I like the faith, right? He said, these guys are bound together. Now listen, I want you guys to stay like this, okay? For like the rest of service, because I gotta go back to my, right?
My hands might turn purple. It's all
right. Oh, it's okay. Oh, it's okay. Like I'm binding you guys together, right?
What if you gotta use the bathroom?
Whoa. You're going together, okay? Right? Listen. So these guys, man, they are bound together no matter what they do. Why? Because, listen, what they did is bigger than a promise, and what they did is bigger than a contract, okay? Hang on with me here. I'm going to read you guys some history, okay? A covenant is the giving of one whole life and being to another and a wholehearted receiving of a person's life. When I become bound to you, I am binding all that I am and all that I have to you. Any resources that I have are yours. Any finances that I have are yours. What are you guys doing sitting down? He said, what? Is that this was usually the way two people groups, right, who were not blood came into relationship and they swore a devotion, here's this, is to be closer than family. So when I made covenant with somebody, man, I'm saying is that now, come here guys, now I need you to follow me around. Now I am closer to this person than my own brother, than my own sister, than my own mother, than my own father. Is that, hey, stop it. is that now, like if like mama calls me and needs something and he calls me and needs something, is that I am obligated now to go to him and not mom. Okay? Come on. How many of you guys have ever heard that phrase, a friend that sticks closer than a brother? Right? You never heard that? You guys need to get out more, okay? It's pretty common, actually. You know, or there's another phrase that's meant, blood is thicker than milk.
Oil.
I think it's milk, bro. I just made that up. All right, come here, guys. I'm just going to drag you guys around just because it's fun. So it's a way, it's a sacred kinship was formed, and it held more weight than your devotion to your blood brothers and sisters. Now, what's really interesting about covenants, okay, listen to me, is that there's a few things that every covenant had. All right, is that firstly, every covenant had conditions. Within every covenant, there was a set of conditions and obligations that were put in place that both parties had to keep. Listen to me. That both parties had to keep to enjoy the benefits of the indicated covenantal terms. Like, for example, right? Whenever God makes a covenant with Israel. Is that somebody's phone? Like, turn off your phones, guys. Come on. Is that whenever God makes a covenant with Israel, he puts conditions in place. He says, listen, if you do this, then I'll do this, right? And guess what? If you don't do this, then this is what's going to happen, right? Is that covenant was a big deal. Next, Marcellus and Nick, if I could have you guys. Next, what happens? What happened is that there was usually always, this is a big deal. Okay, I need someone to hold the arms and someone to hold the legs. This is actually really important. This is actually really important. What happened was, is that they would actually split an animal. Y'all, this is as strong as that. They didn't even budge. You know what?
Stick it in.
Okay, whatever. That didn't work. Yeah, this is the strongest toy I think I've ever seen before. No, it's okay.
That thing got stretched out, though.
Okay, listen. So what they would do is they would split an animal in half. Okay, like God actually does this with Abraham. In the New Testament, God actually takes the animal, he splits it in half, right? And what they would do when the animal was split in half, I was supposed to have two pieces. Anyways, is that they would walk in a figure eight, right? They would walk in this figure eight signifying, yeah, okay, you guys don't have to walk in a figure eight. Signifying that, man, that there is no end to this covenant that we're making, right? Signifying is that, listen, no matter what, I have to fulfill this covenant with my life, with my family. And what's amazing is that, like, this covenant, like, it would not only be between him and him, but it would actually go even as far down as his kids and his kids, and their kids and their kids, right? So there was conditions, there was a sacrifice. Next, there was a solemn oath. In every covenant, there was a solemn oath. And what's wild about this is that this is how serious it was, right? Is that when the animal was split in two, they would make an oath that says, man, if I break this covenant, let the God of heavens, right, or whatever religion that they were, because this is not only in Jewish, Hebrew, the Hebrew religion or whatever, this is in most religions, but they said, let the God of my religion make me like this animal on the ground if I break this covenant, right? So if the head was severed, I mean, if I break this covenant with you, let the God of whatever take off my head. Is that they would actually invoke divine judgment for breaking the covenant. Now listen, I am not signing no contract at Chick-fil-A, right? That says if I don't show up to work one day, right? The God of the universe, take me out. Is that breaking covenant was basically signing your death warrant. Hear me. breaking covenant was basically signing a death warrant. Like, that's how serious this is. Okay, now catch me here. And there's a few things to understand, because this is really good. Okay, the differences between covenants and contracts. So contracts are made by exchange of promises, whereas covenants are sworn by oaths. We just talked about that. Contracts are about business, where covenants deal with relationship. Hear me. Contracts are about business, where covenants deal with relationship. Contracts are limited by terms of exchange of property, right? Like, if I make a contract, it's saying, hey, like this car is yours as long as you give me this amount of money, right? But here's the thing, is that covenant is about the exchange of life. I mean, covenant is about the exchange of life. It's saying, man, is that I am yours and you are mine. I am yours and you are mine, which covers a virtually unlimited range of human relations and duties. Next is that contracts are temporary, while covenant bonds are permanent and even intergenerational. I just talked about that. If I can put a more in-depth definition to what covenant is, it's this, is that a covenant is a binding, unbreakable obligation between two parties based upon unconditional love, sealed by blood and a sacred oath that creates relationship in which each party is bound by specific undertakings on each other's behalf. Is that the parties to the covenant place themselves under a divine cursing and many times death should they attempt to avoid these undertakings. See, and in the Old Testament, when God made a covenant with his people, God chose, hear me this, like when God made a covenant with his people, right, is that God was saying this, is that I am binding myself to these people. Hear me. Oh, it's an exchange of life, not just an exchange of property. He's saying, I am yours and you are mine. See, whenever you got saved, the Bible says that you entered something called the new covenant. Right? And when I entered the new covenant, it's the same thing. Is that when I said that prayer, when I gave my life to Jesus, when I said that oath and said, Jesus, I want you to be the Lord of my life. Man, the Bible says this, is that in that moment that this happened, that God chose to bind himself to me. See, now here's the thing about being bound to somebody, man. Like, no matter where he goes, guess what? He's gonna go. Man, no matter where he goes, guess what? Don't you step on that koala bear. He's gonna go. Why? Because they're bound together. And it's this thing, man, where God says this, listen, because I'm yours, all of my resources are yours. Like, everything I have is yours. Like, all of my love is yours. All of my faithfulness is yours. All of my goodness is yours. All of my grace is yours. All of my kindness is yours. And no matter where you go, guess what? There's my grace. Man, no matter how far away you get, guess what? There's my kindness. Man, no matter what you do, guess what? There's my mercy. Why? Because here's this thing, is that, man, I am bound to you, God says. He says, I have chosen to bind myself to you. Why? Because I love you. And this, friend, this is Hasid. This is, man, that faithful love. This is God's kindness, and this is God's goodness, man, that never runs out. Like, there's a reason why David wrote in the Bible, God, no matter how far I go, he says what? He says that your loving kindness is better than life. Oh, bless God. Come on, y'all, bless God. We ain't getting stuck today. Give me this rope. Right? He says this. Listen, he says your goodness and mercy. Your goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. Why? Because he's bound to you. Because he's bound to you. Thank you. Okay, you guys can stop. Thank you, guys. Hey, you guys can go sit down.
Let's go.
See, if there's one word to sum up, like, if you guys want to know why this church is named Covenant Love, this is why. This is why. Because we have a covenant with God. See, if there's one word to sum up covenant for you, It's about how God has bound himself to you. It's the word hasid. Once again, it's all of his faithfulness is towards you. Like, hear me. God has said, man, all of my faithfulness is towards you. He said, even when you're unfaithful to me, I will still choose to be faithful to you. Why? Because I'm bound to you. He says, man, here's my steadfast, unfailing love to you. And said, even when you fail me, I won't fail you. Why? Because I'm bound to you. See, guys, and what's amazing about covenant is that usually what would happen is that a greater party would make covenant with the lesser party. See, like when the greater party had the full power and to completely wipe out this party, they would choose to bind themselves to the lesser party. And they would say, man, everything that I have is yours. See, here's the amazing thing. God, the greater party, has chosen to make covenant with us, the lesser party. Like, are you guys catching this tonight? All of his goodness is towards you. I hear that all of God's goodness tonight is towards you. Like, how do I know that God isn't out to get you? Like, how do I know, man, that God isn't out to strike you with a lightning bolt because you messed up before you showed up at church? It's his hasid. It's because he's filled with it. Like, this is the defining characteristic. Man, hasid is the consistent, ever faithful, relentless, constantly pursuing, lavish, extravagant, unrestrained, furious love of God. Can I say that again? Hey, Kenzie, you can come and play. It's hasid is the consistent, ever faithful, relentless, constantly pursuing, lavish, extravagant, unrestrained, furious love of God, upheld in a binding relationship. See, today, you can say more than just, I am loved. Today you can say, man, is it I am loved, man, but I am loved with a love that's full of kindness. Man, I'm loved with a love that's full of grace. Man, I'm loved with a love full of someone who gives me what I don't deserve. Man, I'm loved by a love that doesn't give me what I do deserve. Man, I'm loved with a love who sings and dances over me. Man, I'm loved with a love that's lavish and that's extravagant and that gives and gives and gives and gives and gives and gives and gives no matter what I do. No matter what I do. See, his seed says this. It says, I will be for you every single day. I will hold you in the front of my mind. I will seek ways to act for your good every day. Is that my love will not fail you and it will always be loyal to you until the end. I will make sure that my word will come to pass. I will give you what you don't deserve and show you mercy when you don't deserve it. My goodwill towards you is unconquerable. My faithfulness to you is not based on your faithfulness to me. I am looking to show you the riches of my kindness today. Come and tell me what you need, for everything that I have is yours. Like, that's what God says to you. That's what God's saying about you. That's what God's saying over you. He's saying, man, every single day I'm for you. Every single day. Is that there is nothing that can make or that can stop my goodwill towards you. Like, did you know that when you wake up tomorrow morning, man, that God is looking to do you good? He's looking to bless you. Like, he's thinking, man, dude, Jose just woke up. How can I make his day? Because it's his seed. It's his covenant. It's because he's bound to you. It's saying, listen, I'm giving my life for you. I'm giving my life to you. Can I have yours? That's a good exchange. See, and God called me into covenant with himself whenever Jesus died on the cross. Man, if I could get someone to pass out these cups for me, a couple of my leaders in the room, thank you. We're going to end the night by taking communion. See, Matthew 26, verse 26 says this, 27. It says, as they were eating, Jesus took some bread and blessed it. Then he broke it in pieces and gave it to the disciples, saying, take this and eat it, for this is my body. And he took a cup of wine and gave thanks to God for it. He gave it to them and said, listen to this. Each of you drink from it, for this is my blood, which confirms the covenant. Come on, how many of you guys remember the, where did my koala bear go? Hey, bro, can I see the koala bear? Come on, bro. Please, thank you. Come on, our friend that didn't break, right? He said, every covenant is sealed in blood. Like, anytime you make a covenant with somebody, there's always blood. It's not always a sacrifice. Sometimes you cut your hand, right, and you shake on it, or weird stuff. But here's the thing, is that our covenant with God the Father was sealed because Jesus shed his blood for us. Like, just as usually that animal is split in half and they walk between it, well, man, the Bible says that Jesus' body was broken. Right, is that his body was broken. Why? Man, so that we could enter into this covenant relationship with God the Father. Man, so that we would be bound to him and he would be bound to us. So that he could show us all of his hasid. He could show, like, catch this. Like, you're just not bound to God. Like, you're bound to his love. Like, I'm bound to his goodness. I'm bound to his faithfulness. Man, I'm bound to his mercy. Man, I'm bound to his grace. I'm bound to his goodwill towards me. And so I couldn't think of a better way to end tonight than to take communion and remembrance, man, of the sacrifice that was given for us, right? Because last week we talked about, man, that this is real love. Not that you love God, but that he loves you first. All right, Romans 5:8, man, that even while we were still sinners, Christ came and died for us. Like, even, man, like, when I was his enemy, when I was against God, he came and died for me. Man, so we're going to take communion so you guys can peel off top layer. Come on, and I really want to encourage you, if everyone could close their eyes and take a second. Because the Bible talks about how serious taking communion is. Like, this is not something that we do lighthearted. This is not something that we do because it's part of a church service. Actually, Paul writes the Corinthian church and says, hey, some of you are actually dying because you're not taking this seriously. So right now, I want you to check in your heart. That was probably really intense. No one's going to die, okay? But just showing you the gravity of this is that I'm getting there, guys. I'm getting there. Thank you. Is that if you're not in relationship with God, number one, this is not for you, so don't take it. This is only for people who are walking with God. Okay? You don't want to eat and drink judgment on yourself. So I want you to take a second right now, and I just want you to check your heart. And if you are not right with God, I want you to take a second in your heart, and I want you to get right with God. Like, I want you to ask forgiveness to whatever you need to ask forgiveness for. Then the Bible says, man, that we're called to do this in thanksgiving. So right now, I just want you to begin to thank God. And he's made a new covenant with you. Man, begin to thank Jesus for what he did for you on the cross. Begin to thank him, man, for his body that was broken for you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Right, so he says, this is my body that was broken for you. Take it and eat it so you guys can break the bread as a representative of his body that was broken for you. It says he took a wine and gave thanks to God for it. And he gave it to them and said, each of you drink from it, for this is my blood, which confirms the covenant between God and his people. It is poured out as a sacrifice to forgive the sins of many.